Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's your favorite Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk about anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. I'm just cleaning out my cleats. They're all chunked full of grass and wringing out my jersey because, man, it felt like a hurricane.
That was a nasty game. The Ravens came in wearing white. They left wearing black because the dirt and everything. This was old school smash mouth football. It was a game that a lot of the Ravens fans, at least today's Ravens fans, aren't used to, because I mean this was a down and dirty game. But Ravens came up short against the Chicago Bears. Went to couldn't finish in regulation. So what happened here? What happened? Why couldn't the Ravens get away with this win? Because I mean, before that big rain delay, the Ravens were looking like the old school Ravens that were here to win every game.
You just said it right there. Can we say deja vu? Super Bowl 47. Before the lights went out, when the Ravens kicking the doors off the Niners.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm frustrated. I mean, everybody is. You can't blame the storm. You can't blame the lights going out in the Super Bowl. Obviously, we won that game. If we'd have lost, it would have been a wholly different story. Obviously, the storm's a big story because we lost this one. But I'm going to give the best assessment I can right now, Brandon. They're not playing. I wouldn't say they're not playing Ravens football. There's a little things that are happening in the games that the little things not happening are accumulating the big things, like big losses. And I had a discussion with my pastor this week, and you know what it is? We're comparing this year to last year, and just keeping a bar more sports, not necessarily the football realm, but I'm going to touch on baseball too. And you're going to ask me, Brandon, you're going to ask me, why am I going to talk about baseball? Here's why. Last year, the Orioles made the playoffs. The Ravens won the Super Bowl. It was a glorious year in Baltimore, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I went to my first Orioles game. It was great. The Orioles, not this past season, but last year, 2012, we're talking. We'll stick on the Orioles before I get back to the Ravens. The Orioles were like what? Like they had some insane record of one-run games. They were like 29-4 in one-run games, and they won like 19 straight extra inning games. Well, obviously, in translation, in football, it's three-run games. So, and then the Orioles went on to, you know, win the wild card, take the Yankees all the way to the end, and obviously they lost. But they played a great season. Everything went right for the Orioles. They played those games, they went right. For the Ravens, last year, 4th-29, hey, diddle, diddle. That play does not happen. I don't think the Ravens make the playoffs. Because I think one win less and one loss more would have put them out of the playoffs. My assessment on that is 4th-29 happened, and the Mile High Miracle happened, because how many times is that going to happen in a real game? More often than times, it's not. So my assessment is right now, and comparing it, just why I touched on baseball, I'm just showing you, this year, things aren't going the Ravens' way. This year, it's just not happening. You know, we get it 1st-and-goal against the Packers at home on the 1-yard line, and 4 straight times can't punch it in. You have 5 interceptions in Buffalo, still have a chance to win a game, could win the game. The Bengals game, thank God we won that game. If we went for a tip pass, we could have easily lost that game. Just things aren't bouncing the Ravens' way this year. I mean, but I tell you one thing, the running game's back. I mean, Ray Rice took off, and I was like, are you kidding me? This is awesome. I mean, Ray Rice, 131 yards and a touchdown. when did last time he had a stat line like that, man?
Starting off, we see a big burst from Ray Rice. We see it, and I think everybody in Baltimore and in Maryland kind of went, oh, there's the guy that we know. There's the guy that we love. Ray Rice really showing off there. I think for the first time this season, at least for that play, it looked like this offensive line was finally clicking. I mean, yes, the Chicago Bears, their running defense is not the greatest in the world, but it looked to me as if this team finally got it, and Ray Rice was actually able to move a little bit and actually able to get down the field. But at the same time, after that rain delay, it looked like whatever worked during that one play went away, and it was missing for the rest of the game, because even though Ray Rice was able to get more yards than what he was been used to this season, I mean, look at how close we got on the, to getting that one of that final touchdown, and we couldn't do it. Ray Rice, he was what? On the 2-yard line, the 1-yard line, and he couldn't get through there because that offensive line still is not making holes for him. So what, to you, what is different from that first play to that last play? I mean, why were they able to do so well and give Ray Rice such room and let him run and for so many yards, and then we get to the 2-yard line and he can't get into the end zone? What's the difference on those two plays?
I think the difference is more or less it's game planning. But what I noticed going back in the first half, when I mean the first half, I mean prior to the storm delay, Ravens looked faster. They looked quicker, especially on offense and defense. They were beating them with the ball. I mean, their Bears defense for run defense is pretty much horrible anyway, but the Ravens were being more physical. They were pushing them around. They were getting back to where they needed to be, and then just all of a sudden, I think at the end of the game with the delay and the Ravens had to, from our sense, protect their lead, I just think the momentum changed where the Bears just had the better momentum. They stacked for Ray Rice in the box. They knew he was coming. They stopped them, and then with the bad snap on third and goal, I mean, you had to do for the tie there. I mean, going for fourth down and goal to win the game, it could have been gutty, but I like the fact he can kick the field goal and get this in overtime, and it's just unfortunate. But I think it was more or less they were ready for it. We showed them the cards and say, here, we're going to run Ray Rice up the middle. They stacked the whole line, and the whole time when Ray got the ball, it was just penetration. I mean, he got hit immediately. He tried to lunge forward and got hit again. He didn't get nowhere. It's just they were flat out. They were ready. They made a good defensive play. What more can you say about that?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it had to go that way. I mean, I don't think the problem is Ray Rice. We were talking last week that possibly it could be maybe he's still hurt from that injury he suffered earlier this season. Maybe he's not fully healed. Maybe he's not at 100%. But after seeing that first play from him being able to get down the field like that, I mean, he looked like he was okay. He didn't look like he was suffering from any injury or anything like that. Maybe it is still... Maybe it's not even the offensive line, even though I think that is a big thing. I mean, when you do have things like, a snap that isn't done correctly or whatever, that definitely is going to affect the play. But maybe it is the play calling. Maybe it is the coaching staff. Maybe they are a little too predictable. Maybe people are just studying film on the Ravens and they know what they're going to do before the Ravens even do.
Right. I mean, it's just, again, you're right. It just it came down who wanted it more. And I said to my momentum going into the third quarter, the way they were hitting the Bears, I mean, it was just the momentum was changing. And the Ravens just looked flat at the end of the game. And, I mean, it's just disheartening because they had the game. But here's the problem going back in the last 2 weeks. 17-0 at home against the Bengals, tied up, going in overtime, 17-all. The Ravens win that in overtime. The Ravens up pretty much 10-0, evaporated in 20 seconds. I mean, Joe Flacco's got to see that guy in the back of the pick six is uncalled for there. Turning time of the game, obviously the pick six don't happen. We had possession of ball. Let's say we even go down, score 3, maybe even 7. It doesn't matter. We're pretty much game, set, match. It pretty much sucks. It just flat out just does, man, because, I mean, are we a Super Bowl team this year? No. We got it last year. Were we going to do damage to the playoffs? No. Obviously, you want to win success for our football team. You want to win well. I mean, I don't wish they lose out and we're going for a top 10 pick. No. You just want to see them be successful, get into the dance, stay where we're at playoffs. But we're in uncharted territory for the last 5-6 years. We don't know what postseason football is not like with Flacco and Harbaugh and Ray Rice company. So it just... to me, it's just we have to handle it. And I guess as a fan base and as a whole, as Raven Nation, we're not handling it very well because we don't know this very well. I mean, it says a lot about the team because they've been successful for so long. But then when you hit that lull, you got to stick with them when the lull is, guys, because obviously there's going to be another high in championship number three some point somewhere along the line. But it right now, it's do or die. I mean, if you look at the shape of the AFC, as silly as it sounds, Brandon, the Ravens are still alive in the playoff hunt. They have to win the next two games to be at 6-6 because there's a lot of teams tied at 4-6 in the AFC. But it was, again, just like when the Bengals lost on Thursday night a few weeks ago to the Dolphins, and we could have beat the Browns, we didn't beat the Browns. Obviously, we already beat Cincinnati head-to-head, but here's what happened. The Browns didn't do us a favor, and Cincinnati already won, but the Jets lost, and I think the Dolphins did beat the Chargers, even though the Dolphins and Chargers are the playoffs. The Jets lost, so we'd have won. Essentially, we would have had a lock on the sixth playoff seed as of today, but we don't. Now we got to play the Jets in a pivotal game on Sunday, so it just gets messier and messier as we go on, man.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit more about what to expect from the Jets after we play our tailgate song in a little bit, but let's stick with this game a little bit more with Chicago. Let's talk about this defense. Jimmy Smith had quite a day. I definitely feel as if the Chicago Bears targeted whoever Jimmy Smith was covering at any point in this game. He had a big game. You heard his name a lot. Lardarius Webb, who had a really big game last year, didn't really do much this game, but Jimmy Smith, it seemed like he was like the new Kerry Williams, because they always, the team, whatever opposing team we were facing last year, would always pick on Kerry Williams and would always, you know, throw the ball in their direction. But in your opinion, how did Jimmy Smith do yesterday?
Oh, he did great. I don't know if anybody saw that pass deflection when he was covering Brandon Marshall. Great pass defense. It was like a third and goal stand. And speaking of that, I think it was on the end. How impressive was our defense? I mean, and again, every week they're stepping up. They had it was first and goal, down to third, second and third and goal, and then pass interference call, end up being first and goal again, and they stopped them again to fourth and goal, and they had to kick a field goal. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they had 6 plays to get in the end zone with 2 yards, and didn't let them in. So again, obviously the Bears won the game, but even if they lost, it would have been the flip side. Obviously, the Bears fans and people who do Bear podcasts probably and everything over there in Chicago country over there, they would have been whining that Chicago didn't get it done. They were on the doorstep 6 times, didn't get it in. Same thing with the Ravens at the end of the game, they didn't get it in. But Jimmy Smith and the defense stepped up hugely. I've seen Matt Elam making some good, solid tackles. I couldn't be more pleased with this defensive play right now. As far as the pass rush, it wasn't there. I mean, I know Halilhodžić and Adams was missing a big part on the defense. But I didn't hear Suggs' name called. Dumerville's name called, and we're in the backfield putting pressure. I don't even think I saw a sack, maybe even one, from what I recollect. But it's just, you got to put more pressure, especially when the weather's crappy like that. You got a backup quarterback in Josh McCown, but he played great anyway, so I have to give hats off that. But I have to give the Ravens some kudos because, and I know this because I know Statline, obviously, for two reasons. One, because I followed, you know, the game to talk about, but two, because of Brandon Marshall's Statline used on my fantasy team. The Ravens held him and Alshon Jeffrey in check, and I thought Brandon Marshall would have like 150 yards and a touchdown. So I have to be very impressed with what I saw at the secondary.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the defense yesterday. Jimmy Smith, I thought he had a big test up against him, and I thought he did pretty well. There were a few things he could have improved on, but nobody's perfect. I'm not holding it against him. I definitely say he had one of the best games of his career. Yep, Suggs, Elvis Dumerville, I don't know if they stayed in the locker room after that storm delay. Didn't really hear their name a lot, so nothing really to report with them. But the defense is doing what they have to do. James Ahedibo. What a guy here. Waited for his chance to really show what he can do, and I'm really impressed every single game with what this guy is bringing to the table. He's got a lot of intensity. He plays this game like he absolutely loves to be on this defense. He plays like a Raven. So Matt Elam, another one, great game under his belt. So the defense, they were able to do a great job against the Chicago Bears. So yeah, I'm very impressed with the defense. It seems like they keep doing what they have to do every single game. It's just for some reason a lot of the games this season are just not going the Ravens' way. But big game for James Ahedibo. I got to give it to him. I really feel like he played well yesterday.
I agree, man. I agree on that. He did play well.
So, anything else that we should cover for this rain-soaked Chicago Bears game?
I pretty much just want to assess the whole thing. Just for I felt exhausted. I mean, how about you? But obviously, with the delay and the intensity of the game and how close it was, and being as a whole, I mean, you got to root them hard all day. But what I want to focus on real quick too is the fact that Flacco led up all the way down from their own 16, and we're on a 4-yard line, couldn't get it in. I mean, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not pointing fingers at Harbaugh, Flacco, the line. I mean, you have to think. Fourth down, we're down to our final gas. Dallas Clark comes with a one-handed grab. And then, obviously, Torrey Smith kept the drive alive when he got a horse tackle on the great catch. So, I mean, there were some playmakers on that final drive. No, we didn't have no Lee Evans drop, but what it comes down to is execution. I mean, the Ravens got down there before. You just can't come away with a field goal at that point. At that point in the season, if that were a playoff game, pivotal game, whatever, you know, see, the Ravens of old, the Ravens of last year, I mean, I hate kidding. I hate reverting back to the past, but the Ravens of old would have punched that in. And if the line was blocking, Ray Rice would have snuck right in there. I mean, he scores on a first and goal, second and goal, whatever, back away a few, maybe a month ago or so against the Packers at home. That's another win. If maybe they get there in there, that's a win. But I just think they got too predictable in their play calling. I mean, first and goal, try to throw it. Okay, that didn't work. We're going to run Ray Rice. You obviously know everybody thought they were going to run Ray Rice. So the Bears, so did I. They stopped him. A third and goal. I mean, minus a bad snap, you still got a playoff, but even if they didn't have a bad snap, you still got to execute there. I mean, I didn't know what they were going to call. I was anxious. I was very anxious to see what the play call was on third and goal, but you got to get seven there. I mean, that's the win of the game with less than a minute remaining. It just was disheartening. You get all the way down there. I mean, it didn't really, I hate to say this, I mean, because I can't compare it to the AFC title game, but it was just like that caliber. It felt like it was just, you got down there, you know, when the AFC title game 2 years ago, this is where the Lee Evans dropped, and the kind of miss was, you know, Flacco was leading them down, oh, we're going to win, we're driving down, we're going to Super Bowl, and then, oh, you get let down, and then, oh, there's overtime, and then, no, there's not, we lose. It was just, Joe Flacco was driving down, especially when Dallas Clark made the get play, everybody was high-fiving, I'm like, all right, we're alive, we're going down there scoring. I even looked at my boy, I said, we're going to win this game. And it's just, it's almost like they let me down because I said we're going to win and they didn't back me up. So it was almost like, but again, you know, I'm never down on my boys. I love them, love the Ravens. It was very, and I know the players probably felt the same way. It just was a letdown. Like, you get all the way down to the goal line and just couldn't get that hump, push over the hump, get it in the end zone. I mean, you score six, we win. 4-3, we're tied and going to overtime, and obviously we lose because the Bears made the plays in overtime that we didn't, and that's the difference in the game, and that's why the Bears won, and they're in the thick of their division race, and that's why we're on the losing end of it, coming back 2 games under. I mean, if you look at it, we're still a game out of the wild card, 2 games out of the division race, so it's like really weird to see that. I mean, but you never know what can happen. We have another day with Cincinnati at the end of the year. I mean, apart from a few defensive touchdowns, I mean, they were losing 13-0, so who knows? I mean, you have to look at the AFC picture as a whole. I mean, the Steelers beat the Lions last minute. Sucks, but it happened. We're in a three-way tie with the Browns and Steelers, 4-6, so Steelers game's going to be huge. These next games are going to be great because you got the Jets who are right in the thick of things. We need to win them, and obviously we need to beat the Steelers because they're our threat to not only a division race, but they stand in our way, and if they keep pace, I mean, you don't want them to get any momentum. So Thanksgiving night's going to be a huge, huge game. I really can't wait. I need to get my rest for that one because it's just going to be a long, long day. I just can't wait. But these next 2 games setting up, very, very important, starting with the Jets on Sunday. So, I mean, that's it, obviously, fans. It's disappointing, but we got to hold our heads high. You got to push on, and like Harbaugh said, we're not going to quit, and I'm never going to quit in this team, even if they were 0-10 at this point, or I don't care. It's, you know, you never quit because you never know.
Yeah, you know, I think it was, it may have been last week, or no, it wasn't last week. It may have been the week before. I don't remember when this was, but Torrey Smith put out a tweet that just kind of said, you know, heartbreaking loss, but that game is over. Let's move on. Let's think about the next game. So you can't get stuck on stuff here. It's okay to look back at games and figure out what you can improve on, but you can't harp on, oh, I wish we could have done that. I wish we could have done this. So, yeah, the Chicago Bears, you know, came out with a win. They made the plays they had to make. So the Ravens got some more work to do, and they're going to have a big test on Sunday when Rex and Reed come to Baltimore. But before we talk about that game, it's time for your Ravens tailgate song of the week. Now, Josh, I know you're going to be tailgating as you always do on Sundays. This song actually predates both of us. It's a song that I think a lot of people are really going to dig. It's by a band called The Ravens, which pretty good title there. You can find them on Facebook. Just make sure you spell it RAVYNS when you're searching for The Ravens. This is their song, I'm a Raven Maniac. And you can download this song and the entire album on iTunes and on Amazon. So this is your Ravens tailgate song of the week. I'm a Raven Maniac by the Ravens. Turn it up!
Turn me loose.
All right, so I hope you really dug that song. I know that is definitely going to be in the rotation for my tailgate mix that I listen to before every single game. That was the Ravens, R-A-V-Y-N-S, available on iTunes and Amazon, and make sure you look for them on Facebook as well. They're always playing shows around the Baltimore area, and if they do sound familiar, they were actually featured in Fast Times at Ridgemont High back in the day, one of my favorite movies growing up. So let's talk about this. Rex and Reed return to Baltimore with the Jets. No Tim Tebow this time. The Baltimore Ravens, they got a big test going up against this Jets team. Josh, what are they going to have to do here? Is Ed Reed coming back to town once again? Is that going to be a big factor for this Ravens team?
I honestly don't think so. I mean, it's really crazy and weird. You know, Ed Reed comes back to Baltimore for an unprecedented second time in one of the opposing team. And albeit, I don't know if he changed his number, but I noticed he was wearing number 22.
I saw that.
Jets. So I think that's a little weird, if you ask me. But in the same regard, I mean, he's a tail end of his career. You know, he's just, you know, it would be a weird fit back to Baltimore. Everybody was clamoring. I remember we talked about last week when he got cut by the Texans, and we asked on the podcast, do you think he's going to be back in Baltimore? I said, if he is, it would be a one-day contract to retire as a Raven. He's going to retire as a Raven. He's just doing his, you know, his grand tours, due diligence. I mean, the Texans come in for certain reasons, obviously, and he hasn't performed to every level type of we're seeing. So I don't think he's going to be a threat. I mean, you have to watch out for him because you never know. I mean, if you float a ball in his direction, he's liable to catch it and take it to the house or a ladder for all I care. I mean, you know how Ed Reed likes to play it, but trying to make a play. But, I mean, you still got to look out for him and game plan for him. I mean, you know, it don't matter if it's Tom Brady, you know, he's old age and he gets a walk. It don't matter if Tom Brady's walking out there with a walker, he's still Tom Brady. You gotta account for him. So with Ed Reed, I don't think it's going to be an X factor in the game, no. But you still got to be aware if he's playing. But it's going to be great to see the fans get to see him one more time. E.L. Reed, he's probably going to love the crowd. It was great when he was back in Houston, but it just seems like eons ago that when he was back with Houston and we were flying high and we won 30-9 and we waxed the doors off of him and we're 2-1. We thought we're back, and then here we are sitting. You know, that was our second win of the year in week three, and we only have two more wins than that. We're at 4. So that just in itself just says the season itself. But anyway, you know, the Jets come in town. Geno Smith and company. No more Sanchez time. Sanchez, those who can't make some of Mark Sanchez's infamous plays, because last time he was in Baltimore, we shellacked him on a Sunday night. So in early October. So I'm excited. It's gonna be a nice bout. 1 o'clock on Sunday. I mean, the Jets are 4-6. Right in the thick of the playoff race. Same thing as us. You know, they're in the same spot divisional wise. They just gotta. I mean, I think the Bengals are 7-2 now, as are, I mean, depending what happens with recording early before the Patriots play, the Patriots end up winning. So the Jets are pretty much in the same boat, guys. They're a threat. They got a couple good running backs. Chris Ivory always threw, he's a hard runner. We got to execute at home. I mean, this is a must win. I mean, they're not mathematically eliminated yet, but a loss, it's over. Everybody's saying season's over, look forward to next year. I mean, still football to play. Before I even break down a Jets game, I'm going to go on a rant. God bless my rants, I know, Brandon, but it just, here's the thing. And I told you this, I think, a few weeks ago, my friend, is you have to cherish these games because, yeah, if we're out of playoff race, so what? If we win or lose, but we have 6 games left. We have 4 out of 6 left at home. We go to Detroit, and we go to Cincinnati. Let's cherish these. We have 3 in a row at home. The M&T Bank Faith are going to come out 70,000 strong. We have 3 straight home games starting this weekend, which is great, with a Thanksgiving. So Steelers going to be short next week, so I really can't wait to see how it all plays out. But, again, the Jets, they're a threat. Geno Smith likes to run. He's a rookie. Ravens usually handle rookie quarterbacks well, but obviously AJ Manuel beat us in week 4. I'm a little worried that the Ravens don't game plan correctly. Things might not go our way. But it has to start with getting back to the basics. Let's see if we can block and Ray Rice have his way and have 100, 130 yards and a touchdown. But other than that, I mean, the receivers don't pose a threat, so I think our secondary is going to have a great day. I think our pass rush might get to Geno Smith. I think we'll have a few more sacks on the day than we had last week. So overall, I expect us to play a lot better.
Well, I mean, I hope we can definitely play a lot better here. You know, you brought up a good point. There's a lot of people out there that are coming down on the Ravens already and saying the season's over, yada, yada, yada. I saw one tweet on Twitter, of course, after this Sunday's game. They were talking about the Thanksgiving game, and they were like, give it to two teams where something actually matters. Why are the Ravens and Steelers going at it at 8 o'clock on a Thursday? Give them a Sunday 1 o'clock, because it doesn't make sense to have them playing this game. But come on, if you are a Ravens fan, it should not matter where they are in the standing. If you get to play, if you're a Raven, if you get to play, if you're a Raven fan and get to watch a Thanksgiving game, I mean, those are so sacred. I mean, they're so important to the league and to the NFL and to the actual holiday. I mean, football and turkey, they kind of go together. So don't be complaining about, you know, the Ravens shouldn't be getting this game, whatever, whatever. Enjoy it. Don't go out shopping. Don't go to Walmart at 9 o'clock. Stay home and watch the Ravens, and, you know, play on your tablet and order stuff from Walmart that way. But still watch those Ravens play. I mean, that I'm gonna have a good time on Thanksgiving. I'm gonna watch the Ravens. I'm gonna continue to do that. Doesn't matter where they are in the standings. I'm still gonna be wearing purple at Thanksgiving dinner. So that's how it's gonna be. Let's go back and talk about these Jets a little bit more. We saw what the offensive line could do against a running defense that isn't that well off. Do you think that Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce are going to have a better game than they have so far this year against the Jets? Or is it going to be, do you think, the same old story where the running game is pretty much non-existent?
I'm going to surprise you with my answer. I'm going to say it's going to be the same old, and here's why. It's not going to be any different, because one game's not going to change my opinion. They look great against Chicago, don't get me wrong. Both him and Pierce are running great. But until I see improvement, it's almost like if Flacco threw 5 touchdown passes last week, which he didn't, but if he did, it's not going to say Flacco's going to have a great game because he can go out for 5 picks. So that's where my answer lies. It's show me. If you're consistent on running the football and we're going to run it well, then let's run it this week and win the game, and let's run it again next week in Pittsburgh, and let's win the game too and be 500, and then let's beat the Vikings and run it well there too and be 7-6. I mean, you were off 3 straight home games. You realize that we're 7-6. We have 6 losses. I mean, you know, to bypass that for a minute, if you concentrate on one game at a time, we beat the Jets, we're in good position. So I think the running game's got to improve, because the running of the pass feeds off the running plays versa. I mean, longer the days that we miss, the offense runs to Ray Rice. If he does well, we have a great game, but you can see what happens if he doesn't. And even Flacco falters, because we got to throw the ball a lot, and you got to, it trickles down to domino effect, because the running game doesn't work. Flacco's got to win the ball 60 times. When you throw it that much, interceptions are liable to happen, because the chances of that happening rise. He's getting sacked rise because he's always dropping back. So you just never know. If you keep the ball on the ground, I mean, Ray Rice has been notorious for fumbling in the past, but not so recently. So if him and Pierce can get back to it, but again, to keep my answer, no, I still think we're going to see the same old, you know, the fee-fi-fo-fum Ray Rice up the middle for game one, because, I mean, until I see an improvement, let's see. I mean, hopefully the Ravens prove me wrong, because I'd rather eat my words graciously than sit here and go, I was right, we just lost by 10 because we couldn't run the football. So I hate to do that shit.
Yeah, I like you said, I hope the Ravens prove you wrong. I really do. I hope they can do something. But what are some of the secrets to this game up against the Jets? What should people be looking for? How do the Ravens come out of here with a win? Is it just playing a full, you know, 60-minute game? Is it consistent? Do you expect some specific player to have a big game and have to make those big plays? What do they have to do at this point in the season to beat these Jets?
60-minute bowl game for one. For two, please, for the love of God, protect the football. Can't win football games turning the ball over, especially giving a gift to pick 6 with the defender standing in front of you. That's 6 points the other way. Can't fumble the ball. Just can't. And Tanner Doss did it in Cleveland. Fumble to kick off. Browns get it. Put it in the end zone. There's a difference in the game. You can't give teams gifts, man. I mean, how many times the Ravens make the other team turn the ball over, and then we go capitalize, put points on the board, and go, ha ha, we made you pay. No, Ravens can't turn the ball over, bro. It's simple as that. Billick said that in his time here is can't turn the ball over. Can't win many football games, turn the ball over. If you lose turnover battle, you can lose the game 100% of the time, or more often than that, maybe 95% of the time, because I've seen teams turn the ball over three times and the other team once, and the team they turn over three times win the game. It happens because your defense stops them. So it's a collaborative team effort, but again, if we recap, the game plan for the Ravens should be getting back to the basics, build off the running game from last week, set up the pass. Joe Flacco and company, please take care of the football. No fumbles. No, I mean, he fumbled that one. I forgot about that. That's not the fumble. They had the fumble to where he was going back to pass, and he got hit and it fumbled. You just got to protect the football. There's no pass rush awareness at all in his repertoire. I mean, it's just, you got to be aware. You have 3 or 4 seconds. You got to know a bear's coming. Get out of the pocket or run or throw the ball away. You're standing there looking for your receiver. It's the NFL, man. These guys are coming after your lunch. You know, you're holding something valuable. It's called a football. That defense wants it. They're going to get it, and they got it on Sunday. So you got to take care of football. And as for the defense to stop the Jets, it's best rush has got to be there to get Geno Smith. Contain him, because Geno can beat us with his legs. And contain the running game. If the running game gets out of hand on the Jets side, it could be a long day for us in Baltimore. And the secondary needs a lockdown. I mean, the receivers aren't as threat as what the pass receivers were, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. But you got to contain, because I know we got beat on a tight end because Martellus Bennett caught that 30-yard pass over the middle. Tight ends have been eating this Ravens team up. So as long as we can, I mean, it sounds like a lot because, oh, you got to play everything right, but it is a lot. Got to cover your receivers, make sure you have them in there. But the tight end's going to kill us. So the matchup is, if we can stop them with the big plays have been the Ravens, Achilles heel the whole time on defense. It's, we stop them, but then all of a sudden on overtime last week, we let one big play happen with a big pass, and then their field goal range game over. It's just how it is, man. And then with the Bears' big play, they got to pick their scene. And a fumble recovery from Flacco. So if we can get back to where it is, obviously I'll be there rooting them hard. And next week's going to be interesting, man, because we got the 2-4, you know, 2-for-1. We got the, you know, 2 games in 5 days span. So, yeah, we're going to look forward to some good football, but it all starts Sunday, 1 o'clock. It's going to be there, man, and I know you'll be there with us at the tail end of the home stretch. So hopefully we'll be rocking out our shows, and then when we're down there tailgating for the last time this year, I really can't wait to see how it plays out for us. And it's gonna be exciting, man. I really can't wait to get after the Jets on Sunday, but hopefully we can ground them, because that's what needs to happen.
That's what I hope. I'm gonna have my banner. I'm gonna be waving it. I don't know where I'm gonna watch the game yet, but I'll be waving it somewhere, because you gotta have clear eyes, full hearts, and can't lose. So, is there anything that we missed during this show?
Not a chance, sir.
All right, that's great, man. So
if
you're a fan of the call, make sure you let people know about it. Let them know that we are available on iTunes. We are available on Stitcher and thecall.brandocash.com for all of our old shows as well. So make sure if they are an Apple or a Droid, or if they even have a desktop, you can listen to the show no matter what. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes so that whenever a new show comes out, you will be notified and it will download automatically straight into your iTunes or on your podcast app if you have an Apple device. And let people know about the show. Let them know on social media. Let them know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and any other place you are social on the web. Let them know, even on Reddit, that you are a fan of the call, that you love the Baltimore Ravens, and that they should listen to the call as well. If you want to talk about football even more with Josh or I, we are both available on Twitter. So tweet to me at Brando Cash, and Josh, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you?
You can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. Well, that's pretty much it for the call. Make sure you go ground those Jets. And, Josh, we're supposed to have some pretty good weather, but it just wouldn't be the show if you didn't end it in that perfect way you always do. So, Josh, take it away.
You got it, Brandon. Thank you very much for a great show today. Fans, folks, we got to get down to it, guys. We're down to our last gasp. It's now or never. 4-6, we got to climb back out to 500 before we can start talking some postseason football. But, hey, it's been a ride this year. But the Jets are coming into town, and we have, like Brandon said, we got to ground these Jets, make sure they don't take off on us. And we need to get back to Raven way, Raven football, winning football here at the bank, and take care of business at home, as we always do. It was a great game against Cincinnati 2 weeks ago. Great time. But let's get back to it, the Jets. Can't wait to be down back at the bank, Ravens walk, all the faithful touching Johnny U's shoe. Let's root hard, guys, because we're going to need everybody standing up on third down, yelling and cheering. So let's go. Let's Baltimore Ravens, 1, 2, 3. Let's fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.